This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Well, I've said it, and I'll say it again, and the weather we've had for the past week and are going to continue to have for the rest of this week is appropriate. To me, the two worst months in the calendar in the Midwest are January and February. The weather's the worst. It's even colder and more bitter than it was in December. And in December, you can kind of tolerate it because it's the holiday season, so you're kind of enjoying it. It's festive. But January and February, it's, you know, my wife and I even said when we were taking down the Christmas, I adamantly take down the Christmas decorations on New Year's Day. That's just, I'm vehemently in favor of that. She said, well, why? What season is it now? Well, it's college basketball season is what it is. College basketball season and the NFL playoffs get me through January and February. And to that end, Jay Heidrick is in studio. Our former K-State basketball player, our buddy. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Did you have a good holiday week?
I did. I spent it up in Minnesota with my wife's family.
Going to the warmer climes.
Yeah. We actually got home, and it was nice to be about 10 or 15 degrees warmer than it was up in Minnesota. You've never experienced cold until you've gone up there.
They literally broadcast, like, you can be outside for so long before you'll die or whatever.
It's ridiculous. I mean, any state where you have to build skyways and subways to connect buildings because you can't go outside 3 months of the year, there's something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was so, so bitterly cold. But, it was Tuesday. It was – the sun was shining, not a cloud in the sky, and it was negative 12 most of the day until it actually got warmer once the sun went down. I can't figure that out, but it's just insane.
Yeah, so – college basketball warms us up, right? It's
yep.
here, and this is the time. I feel like your conference play is when you get really excited for college basketball.
Yeah, you really don't know what or who anybody is until it gets time for conference season. And K-State in particular, I mean, their non-conference slate. They played a couple of P5 teams, but they didn't face anyone in the non-conference like they're going to face in conference play, and so now we're going to find out really what we have for a lot of teams.
Did you did your expectation level for what you think K-State will or should be in the league, did it change any from before non-con to the end of non-con?
No, it didn't, to be honest. They had some spots where they played well. They had some spots where they didn't play well, which has been K-State for the past 3 years, up and down. I was more looking at not whether or not they won teams, but how they or beat teams, but how they won, and I still saw some of the same problems against teams like Tulsa, and even against first half of UMKC that have played K-State, and we knew those going in that were going to be problems. They don't have a post presence; they rely on the three ball almost exclusively, and they have inconsistent games with effort or halves with effort, and they were able to mask those by just being better than a lot of those teams. And so they've got a lot of potential. They've got some really nice pieces to the puzzle. Whether or not they have enough, I don't know. But it didn't change. The non-conference was nothing that I could take away that was particularly indicative of how the conference season would go.
Okay, you just mentioned a couple things. You were texting me yesterday during the game, the lack of low post presence. Do you want to give that number out that you texted me?
Yeah.
This is eye-popping.
Yeah, so in two conference games so far, there's four guys that play the five spot for K-State. Sala, Maween, Stockard, and Love. And Love's just coming off of an injury, but in the last two games, those four guys combined have played 46 minutes. They've only attempted 8 field goals, and they've only scored 3 points. And
wow.
That's just that's a huge problem. They have to get some type of production from the five, and everyone's looking at it like, well, you know, Cam and Barry, they struggled yesterday. They didn't shoot well from behind the arc, and when that happens, K-State is going to lose. And I kind of take a different spin on it. If K-State had a guy who could get them 8-6 at the five spot, K-State would be undefeated right now, because they're just get some type of production from that spot. You'd be able to play through the post. You'd be able to just really change the game on how you do that. But there are a lot of possessions K-State plays on the offensive side where there's nobody in the low post, because you'll have Dean Wade floating around the 3-point line, and you'll have whoever's playing the five out setting ball screens. And so there's nobody inside the 3-point arc for a large portions of the shot clock,
which makes it easier to defend the 3-point line.
Yeah, and it's tough to win games that way unless you're knocking down jumpers.
And is K-State, like, boy, when you said they rely on the three too much, are they that good of a shooting team to rely on that? They haven't been up until this point. The last couple of years, if anything, that was one of my biggest knocks them, is they're not consistent enough in terms of shooting the ball from the outside.
No, they can be, but you know, I don't think they're consistent enough to win games in the Big 12 for it. I mean, they played really well at Iowa State.
Yeah, they had 50% of them at Iowa State.
But even then, they had 4 points. Four guys scored all but four of their points. Brown, Wade, Snead, and Stokes scored, I think, 87 of their 91 points. They got 4 points from people other than those, the big four, as we call them. And, you know, that's just tough to sustain. They've got to have some, not only the five, but somebody else step up and give them some help off the bench. I will say this, though. I thought yesterday, the West Virginia game, their effort was really good. They played hard. There's been a lot of times, maybe not a lot, but sometimes in the past where they've come off a big win and showed up and just laid an egg at home and just got rolled over and lost a game that they shouldn't. And they had their problems yesterday, but from an effort standpoint, I thought they played hard and they battled. It was a physical game, as West Virginia makes you play, but I thought they played really hard. They just came up short. They were just outgunned. They didn't have enough Joes to win it.
Well, one point on that, when we were talking about the outside shooting, I just looked up the stats in the Big 12. K-State is right in the middle of the pack. They rank sixth in three-point field goal percentage. Like, on the flip side, Kansas is very reliant on the three this year. They rank first in three-point field goal percentage, and by a pretty healthy margin. They're shooting 42% from beyond the arc as a team. For reference, K-State shooting 36%. You don't want to be too reliant on the three anyway, but if you do, you want to be a little bit more consistent with it, right?
Yeah, but and I'd be interested to break down possession by possession how KU gets a lot of their threes, because when you play through the post, you can penetrate in a number of ways. You can take someone off the dribble and get to the lane, and what that happens is it forces everyone to collapse, and then you kick it out to a jumper.
Sure.
When you play through the post and you go to a big man, the big man makes a move. It's the same thing. You have someone comes from help side that helps. It forces everyone to shift. So if you take away one of those options, then it's just that much easier to guard you. And I think KU probably does a lot better job of playing through the post with Azubuike and Lightfoot and being able to get it in the post, make a move, kick opposite side. And there's Graham or Shvi or someone sitting there waiting to knock down a shot, or Vic, you know.
All right, let's before we get into the West Virginia game, let's talk a little bit more about the Iowa State game. You mentioned that it was a group of four guys, really, that did the scoring for K-State in this game. In particular, Dean Wade, 34 points in this game. I don't think anybody expects him to go for 34 on a consistent basis, but we've been talking about him for 3 years, and specifically last year. When he played well, they won. When he played poorly, they lost. Are you seeing him take that step as a junior of taking more ownership of you know, bringing it game in and game out and being aggressive?
Yeah, particularly the last two games. I mean, he's really coming along, and I hope that he continues with this attitude. What I've seen the last two games are he's demanding the ball more, particularly in the low post. He's stepping up when he has an open shot. He's looking to shoot and not deferring just a pass. He's playing within himself. He's being more aggressive in how he takes the ball to the rim and looking to get fouled, not backing down. And he's just playing with a lot more confidence. And I think if he can continue to grow and if K-State can get him the ball, then I think that it will bode well for K-State. The more touches he should get, or the more touches he does get, the more successful K-State's going to be. They have to play through Dean Wade if they want to be successful in conference.
Iowa State's going to be really bad this year, aren't they?
Yes, they couldn't have guarded Ole Miss at Church League when they played K-State. That was really bad.
They haven't guarded for a long time, but you didn't care as much because they were so good offensively.
Yeah,
you give up 91 on your home floor. That's, you know.
And I think they were maybe a little bit better defensively than we gave them credit for. I mean, Monte Morris, my recollection of him, he was a good defender, you know, out front. And they maybe didn't pressure the ball or didn't have great rotations, but they weren't this bad. They were really bad defensively.
And Iowa State just lost last night to Texas, so they're 0-2, and I believe that was a home game yesterday as well.
Was.
So they're 0-2 with two of their home games already out of the way.
Against mediocre or bottom half teams of the conference.
Two of the only unranked teams in the league, right? Let's see, right now, they might be the only two unranked teams. I'm trying to think who else would be unranked in the Big 12 at this point. Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So maybe three.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough for Iowa State this year, no doubt about that. Okay, let's move on to the game last night. You've touched on it a couple of times. We were texting during the course of the game. The refs let this one become physical. That's advantage Bob Huggins every time, right? I mean, did you feel like that? This is a bad sign that the game is getting as physical as it was?
Yeah, it was, but at the same time, too, anytime you go in and you complain about refs against a Bob Huggins team, you might as well just save your time. You know this is what the game's going to be like.
Right.
And it's not like they weren't calling fouls. West Virginia didn't attempt a free throw until like 4 minutes ago in the first half. They shot one free throw in the first half.
No, I thought it was consistent.
Yeah, I mean, it was just physical. You know, yeah. I didn't think the refs were particularly bad. You know, you want to go back down and break down the tape, I can show you some times where West Virginia committed fouls that weren't called. I can show you times where K-State committed fouls that weren't called.
Right.
But, yeah, anytime the more physical the game, it's going to favor into Bob Huggins' style of play. That's for sure. And they let it start early, too, which I thought – I never get in college basketball, and this is what drives me crazy, is we spend all non-conference watching just terrible basketball of ticky-tack fouls and out front. And then when conference starts, like the officials say, okay, now we're just going to go back to whatever it was. And then when the NCAA tournament comes around, we get back to the ticky-tack side of things.
Yeah.
And as a player that and a coach, that would just drive me absolute bonkers. Whatever the rules are, just call it and be consistent. But I think the officiating is just so up and down as far as what is a foul in college basketball. It makes it difficult.
You know what's interesting is because I think through the first weekend, and I saw Mike DeCourcy tweeting about this, he's a big proponent of staying consistent with the non-con portion of what you said. Freedom of movement. You know, that's the whole buzzword that's been there, I feel like, every year for the past 5 to 10 years in college basketball. We're going to get more freedom of movement. We're going to do what the NBA did, make it so that it's a more free-flowing, a prettier game. And like you said, then all of a sudden, at some point during conference play, it stops. There were a bunch of high-scoring games this weekend across college basketball. Oklahoma and TCU played a 90-89 game. We talked about it. K-State scored 91 points in Ames, Iowa. And so I saw that Mike DeCourcy tweeted out, how's everybody liking that freedom of movement right about now? And then all of a sudden the West Virginia thing happens, and it's like somehow Bob Huggins still is able to get it back to that ugly type of game, even on the road. Because a lot of times he gets it at home, but then he goes on the road and he doesn't get that. But it was that type of game yesterday.
Yeah, and it almost came back to bite him yesterday, because really free throws kept West Virginia in the game yesterday.
K-State in
the game, yeah. Because if K-State's not getting to the line as much as they did and converting on free throws, I mean, I want to say, I don't remember the exact point, but K-State was in the bonus early in the second half. And there were a lot of times where, you know, it's a 6 to 8 point game, and you're a possession or two from maybe breaking it open, and K-State comes down and can't get a bucket, but they get fouled on a drive or something like that, and they go down and knock down a couple free throws, and that keeps it in that, you know, 4 to 6 point range, which is still pretty manageable. So it almost came back to back, and it can if in a low scoring game, if one side has a decided free throw advantage, that can be difficult to overcome, but. Yeah, Bob, there's a reason why the guys going to be in the Hall of Fame if he's not already.
Here's what impressed me the most about West Virginia in this game. They won a road conference game by 8 points. Javon Carter had 3 points and was 1 for 7. Because I felt like coming into the season, Javon Carter is maybe the best player in the Big 12 all around, defense, offense, everything combined. And if any team's going to be dependent on the production of one guy, it's going to be West Virginia depending on Javon Carter. That's got to be impressive, right, that they were able to win a game by 8 points when he scores three?
Yeah, I mean, he did not score yesterday, but his presence was felt. I mean,
10 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 steals.
He made Cartier Jara look like a freshman. I mean, he just completely there was a key stretch in the second half where he was guarding – or Jara was guarding him or he was guarding Jara. They were matching up. And I think there are 3 straight possessions, offensive and defensive, where Javon Carter just made Jara look like the freshman he is and just said, I'm the veteran here and you need to know your place. And he did just so many little things on defense, distributing the ball, like you said. I mean, he didn't score yesterday, but he was a huge factor in the game yesterday.
How good do you think West Virginia is? They're 2-0. They're ranked in the top 10. How good are they?
I don't know. They're good. I mean, I don't know if they're a top 10 team, but then again, who is a top 10 team in college basketball this year? You know, West Virginia is kind of like K-State football. It's such an unorthodox style of play. It's hard to prepare for. Not many people do it. You're going to see it in the round robin of the Big 12. You're going to see it twice a year. You might see it a little bit with Texas, but even Texas is moving away from its the historic Shaka Smart, I'm going to press you for 40 minutes. You're not going to see that from anyone else, and so it's hard to prepare for. And he might be able to win some games in the league. He's going to win some games in the league. I don't know if it's something that is that they can win the league with. We'll see, but I really don't think it's a formula that's going to have a lot of success come March, because they're going to get outside of the Big 12 and get into games where officials who haven't seen them play as much and don't know that style, and they're going to call the fouls. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that it's a Final Four type of team, but they're going to win a lot of games in the Big 12 this year.
I just wonder if it's going to be the type of thing, too, where they get into the a tournament game and they just can't score. Because that happens. It happened to West. That's how they got beat last year in the tournament, and they still had a chance to win the game they did, but I can't remember what the number was, some ridiculously low number of field goals that they hit through the course of the game.
Which you would think that is that wouldn't be the case for West Virginia. You'd think that they get a lot of points off of turnovers, easy runouts, things like that. But, you know, the flip side is it too. They shot it well yesterday. I thought they made some key buckets from the outside. But the biggest thing was they just pounded the paint. I think they had 40-some points in the paint against K-State.
Yep.
And that's an now, again, you play from the inside out. That's a coach that recognizes it and says, you know, if we're struggling outside, we've got to get the ball to the rack. And they did that yesterday. So if you can play inside out, if you can attack the rim, you're going to have a shot against anybody.
Okay, so K-State next is at TCU. TCU is ranked. They beat up on Baylor. They jumped out to a huge lead in that game and never looked back. We're going to see Texas Tech tonight in Allen Fieldhouse, and I think this is actually going to be a pretty compelling game. What do you think of the Red Raiders? What do you think of the matchup for K-State when they get there on the 6th?
It's going to be a tough game. I mean, the Evans kid for Tech is scoring well. The one thing Chris Beard's going to do is going to guard you, just like Bobby Knight did. He's going to make you play on the offensive end. K-State has got to have their Big Four show up, and if they don't, they're probably going to get beat. But even if the Big Four show up, what K-State's going to have to do, they're going to have to execute. They're going to have to set screens. They're going to have to cut hard, or it's going to be really hard to get a win out of there unless they just shoot the ball insanely well. Because if you just stand around, I joked yesterday that, you know, I think K-State guards, I think their scholarship dollars are paid by the number of dribbles that they take. Because all they do is just stand out front and just pound the ball. And you can't do that. You're easy to guard at that point because if you got four guys standing and one guy dribbling, then four defenders can stand with you and stand in front of you while you're dribbling. And against Tech, you know, you're going to have to set screens. You're going to have to cut. You're going to have to keep them moving. And if they can do that, they'll have a chance. I would love to see K-State play more through Dean Wade. You know, come down. he touches the ball on every possession unless there's some reason why he doesn't. Run some sets for him. I would love to see some things where Dean Wade comes off ball screens and he's curling into the paint and getting a jumper, or he's fading and shooting a three, or he gets switched out on a mismatch and he posts the guy. I mean, you can do so much through him. His skill set is lends to be able to do so much through him, his passing, his ball handling, things like that, that if you don't take advantage of it, especially with the limited production you have at the five spot, you're going to be you're putting yourself at a disadvantage when you don't need to.
Final question, and this is I think he's the biggest story in the Big 12 right now. Trae Young, 39 points, 14 rebounds in his Big 12 opener at TCU, hits the free throws to win the game 90-89. Best player in the Big 12 since the Beasley Durant period. Like, tell me how transformational, how special is Trae Young in your mind?
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's just so much fun to watch. I mean, what gets me is not only the 39 points that he had, but the, what did you say, 14 assists?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is just incredible. And think about the Big 12, how fortunate we've been to witness some of these players. I mean, Durant, Beasley, Blake Griffin,
Andrew
Trae Young,
Wiggins,
yeah, I mean,
Joel Embiid, even those short period of time.
I mean, and those guys have turned out to be great pros, but I wouldn't put them in the superstar category of like a Kevin Durant or a Blake
in terms
Griffin,
of what they did in their freshman season.
Yeah,
gosh, Embiid, if the back injury hadn't happened, when I was watching him at the time, that he had some special moments. But you're right. Those guys played at a first team All American level.
I mean,
has
there been another conference who's had one of those types of kids? And the Big 12's had four. I mean, and Trae Young now added on top of that. I mean, that's just incredible to be able to watch from a fan perspective.
It's going to be interesting to see who do you think the number one contender is to knock off Kansas, if there is one this year.
Probably Kansas. You know,
they have to knock themselves off.
Yeah, I mean, if.
I feel like it's West Virginia or Oklahoma.
Yeah. And that's the thing about the Big 12 is I don't know if it's one team or if you could point to one team, because the league is so deep that, you know, as bad as Iowa State is, they've got some players. I mean, the Wigginton kid is a really skilled player. They've got Lard down low. They're young. I mean, KU, I don't know when they play, but they could go up to Ames on a cold February day, and Iowa State shoots 55% from behind the three-point arc. And
kids are back in school.
Yeah,
it'll actually be a raucous gym.
And so there may not be one team, but I think KU's going to have a hard time just rolling through the conference like they have. Like in the past, we've talked about, you know, OU might be the team to beat them, or maybe Texas or Baylor, you know. There may not be one team that steps up, but there's going to be some depth in the league that causes a lot of really great games come this winter.
Should be a lot of fun. Jay, thanks a lot for the time, man. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. You too, buddy.
All right, that is Jay Heidrick breaking down K-State and the Big 12 for us. Back after this with a weather forecast from Gary Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Are you here all week by yourself?
Hey, it's a new year, and that means it's time for a new bed. And Mattress Firm has you covered with its New Year sleep sale, and it's still going on through today. A great night's sleep is great for the mind and body, and they're making it easier for you to make 2018 the healthiest year yet. Get a free Fitbit with any mattress of $799 or more. So you sleep well at night, then you get your exercise during the day, and you are healthy. On top of that, you can take 50% off any Sleepy's Cool mattress. Look, it's Mattress Firm's New Year closeout, meaning that through today, you can save up to 70% on famous name brand floor models, including Beautyrest, Serta, and Hampton and Rhodes. You can also save on all the essentials like adjustable bases, sheets, pillows, and more. Just go to Mattress Firm and check it out. Today is the last day of the New Year closeout sale at Mattress Firm. Save money. Sleep happy.